It's great to see all of you guys tonight. I can actually see some of you. I'm Mark. For those of you who don't know or don't remember, some of you are getting a little older, so you might have forgot. It's starting to happen to me a little bit. When I turned 75 last August, it was difficult, but yeah, I'm lying. I was only 72, actually. So how is everybody? You guys doing okay these days? There's some of you guys up here got a little energy. I'm usually in bed by now these days. I got up at 2 o'clock this morning. Think you can handle that? Stay up the rest of the day? Well, that's what I did. Well, I did have a nap. But really, seriously, it's good to see all of you tonight. Thank you for coming out. I'd like to share with you something that I've been praying about a lot. And that's just share the gospel. Sometimes we get so caught up in doing so many other things, good things. We get caught up serving people. We get caught up loving them. We get caught up doing acts of kindness that we simply forget to sow the gospel. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1:16, Paul writes, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." The gospel is a little bit like Jack and his magic beans. You just got to sow it, and the next thing you know, something grows. I've come to realize after these 36 years of following Christ that I really cannot control in any way, shape, or form who gets saved, who actually responds to the gospel. But what I can do is sow the gospel. I can share the gospel. I can share my testimony. I can pass on a book. And I started thinking about this. I started thinking, Lord, I just think you want to help us as a church get back to just sowing the gospel. And all these opportunities that are so naturally ours. So often we can feel the strain, you know, the pressure of I've got to make a convert. No, we don't. No, we don't. That's God's work. That's God's business. And God gives us these amazing divine opportunities. And some of them you're going to hear about at Unite. Some of these stories that have just been happening. Young men and women who they don't know very much, but they've just taken an opportunity to write a letter, for example, to a mother or a father or a grandfather and share their testimony and share Christ and what God has been doing. And so we're going to talk at this Unite about the divine appointments that God gives us. The sovereign hand of God in your life, bringing you to this exact point in history. And how you and I can just be involved and just sow it. And just sowing the gospel. So that's what our Unite conference is going to be about. And we believe as leaders, that's just going to be, one, a tremendous blessing. A tremendous encouragement. And two, that it's just something that God is impressing on our heart for this time in our history. I want to share something with you before I get into tonight's topic. And I know when I share this with you, I understand that math never works perfectly in the real world. But I'd like to give you a picture of something, all right? A few months ago, I wrote to a friend who's in the know, deals with missionary groups, has his hand on real, real accurate statistics of Christians in the world. So in 2001, there was, by the best data they could find, 648 million truly born-again Christians in the world. So I did a little guesstimating and figured that about 10 years later, there might be close to 700 million. But 700 million is easier to work with, so we'll just use that number for a moment. If every Christian simply shared the gospel with 10 people, that's 7 billion people in the world. The world's reached. We're not called to save them all. We're not called to convert them all. We're simply called to present Christ in the first century. When Jesus left, he left 120 people in the upper room with a commission to share the gospel, if you read the last chapter of Mark, to go into all the world and share the gospel with every creature. Now, the known world at that time was 4.5 million people. That means that each one of those folks would have had to share with 37,500 people. That's mind-blowing. Do you realize how close we are in the history of the world to the entire world being able to hear the gospel? And God has given each of you sort of a little group of people that you have a unique window into their lives, a unique opportunity. And anyway, we're going to get into that at the conference. I'd like to talk to you tonight about what I've concluded. You may differ, but I'd at least like you to hear me out. After following Christ for 36 years, I have concluded that there is no important habit, significant habit in my life than prayer. Prayer is the greatest privilege in the world that God has given to us. I was reading the other day, you know, we're in a political season and we're going to be there for a while, and so it's going to be kind of rough and tumble. This, in fact, will probably be the most vitriol-filled election of our lifetime. But anyway, so I was reading the other day a quote from Governor Christie. And he's the guy out in New Jersey, I believe it is. And there was a particular politician who was in his town. And he said, oh my gosh, if that politician would have called me, I would have just cleared my whole schedule and had him in my office. And I thought, well, he must be really important. Governor Christie wouldn't clear his schedule for me, but God does every day. The prince, the king, the Lord of the universe, every day is just waiting for the opportunity to listen to you. In Psalm 116, verse 1 and 2, I go over and over and over this passage. And if you hear me long enough, you'll probably get sick of it. If you're at Faith Walkers, I share it every year. But it says this, I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he hears and answers my prayers. Because he bends down and listens, I will pray as long as I have breath. Now, we are responsive creatures. You know, you need to understand something about the way God has wired us. God's wired a certain way, and we are wired a certain way. We do not love because of the greatness of our being. We do not love because of the greatness of our character. We love because he first loved us. There are reasons why we love. And if those reasons don't exist, we don't love. One of those reasons, the psalmist says, is I love the Lord because he listens and answers my prayers. I cannot tell you what an extraordinary blessing has been in my life over these 36 years to have had this habit of prayer walking and talking with God. The opportunity, every single day. I realize that I'm older than many that are in this room tonight. And I want you to know that this is obviously a habit that has to be cultivated. So I really don't want you, in a wrong way, to compare yourself with what I'm going to say right now. But I literally am anxious to get up every single morning. And I get up long before the sun comes up so that I can talk and walk with God. That is not an exaggeration. My day starts after I get up and I get myself awake and I get my shower and I get a few minor things done with an hour of walking and talking with God. Year after year, month after month, no matter where I go in the world, when I travel, I do not deviate from the schedule. I may have to adjust because of jet lag, but I mean I don't deviate from the routine. And as soon as my body readjusts, I am back to the exact schedule. I do not know how I would survive without walking and talking with God. I really don't. The load for me of life sometimes, the issues that are going on are simply crushing. At the same time, there is the great joy of just being in the presence of God, knowing that I'm heard. You know, some of you have known this for a long time, but you know, you've probably thought, Mark's a little odd. He's kind of an odd guy. You notice I did try a new jacket for you tonight. Some of you are going, geez, I don't believe this. What is Mark feeling okay? Yes, the other one's at home in the closet, safe and sound. Okay, I'll bring it back out sometime. And I cannot even tell you what it is like to have one individual in my life, and for a moment I'll refer to God as an individual, he's far more than that, who literally understands everything about me. He gets me. He empathizes with me. He never misunderstands me. And he listens to my ranting, and he listens to my raving, and he listens to my cries, and he listens to my petitions, and my pleading, and my desperation, and my desires. God is the only one in my life like that. Now, my wife, she's pretty good. Don't get me wrong. And then everybody after that is way distant. But even my wife doesn't fully understand me. Even my wife doesn't get me. My closest friends through life have often looked at me and said, "You're kind of weird, Mark." God's never looked at me and said, "You're weird." God gets me. God understands. And God has been, this habit of seeking the Lord has been a lifeline in my life. It has not only transformed my life and continues, it continues to transform me, but it has impacted circumstances. It has impacted this church. It has impacted people. It has impacted things. And I'd like to show you something recently the Lord drew my attention to that I'd like to share with you tonight. Celeste, could you have someone bring me the water that's right beside you? Darling, I forgot it. Celeste is my daughter. That's why I called her Darling. She went and changed her name. Can you believe that? Who'd want to change the name from Darling? So I'm going to read to you for a moment. Thank you, sweetheart. I can still call her that. Isn't that cool? Yeah, all right. She's thinking, "You're weird, Dad." You're just... So this is out of the book of Genesis. And if you're reading the one in your Bible, you read this recently, but I want to just give you hopefully a few insights in this passage tonight. Genesis chapter 32. During the night, Jacob got up and sent his two wives, his two concubines, and 11 sons across the Jabbok River. After they were on the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until dawn. When the man saw he couldn't win the match, he struck Jacob's hip and knocked it out of joint at the socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is dawn." Now I want you to picture this for a moment, okay? We don't have a lot of background here. So I'm going to give you my best understanding of the text and how I believe it has something tremendous to teach to every single one of us. Jacob is going to meet his brother Esau. He's got this beautiful plan. He hasn't seen Esau in a long time. And so he's sending ahead servants and he's stringing out all of his wealth and he's going to be giving his brother a gift. But at night, probably was a restless night. He couldn't sleep too well. And so he sent his wives and his concubines, his 11 sons, across the river. And for whatever reason, and we know from the text, God shows up for a wrestling match. Now, first, we don't know that. It says a man, and Jacob, of course, what he says is, "Wow, I have seen God face to face, yet my life was spared." So he believed it was God. But right here it says, this man comes and wrestles with him. Now, here's the interesting thing. If God started wrestling with you, what would you do? Uncle. Okay, I give. Not Jacob. He fought back. He wrestled through. He struggled. Now, you get this kind of almost like this Dracula movie. And the man, who we don't know is God yet, because we haven't read ahead like I just did. He says, oh my gosh, the sun's coming up. The sun can't hit me. If the sun hits me, you know how it is with the vampires and all that. Anyway, I'm not saying God's a vampire. For the young people here, I'm just trying to give them a word picture. Because something's going on here about the dawn. I don't have the answer. The text doesn't give me the answer, but the sun's starting to come up, and he's like, "I got to get out of here." And Jacob grabs him and says, "No, I will not let you go till you bless me." I'm not letting you go till you do something. I'm not letting you go. So I was reading, I've been reading this year from the Living Bible, and here's what it says. So the man says, "What is your name?" the man asked. "Jacob," was his reply. "It isn't anymore," the man told him. "It is Israel, one who has power with God. Because you have been strong with God, you will prevail with men." This is the Message Bible. The man said, "But no longer will your name be Jacob. From now on, it is Israel, God wrestler. You've wrestled with God and you came through." This is the Wycliffe version. And the man said, "Thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For if thou wert strong with God, how much more will you have power with men?" Now I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to show you something in the New Testament, in the Berkeley verse, just a moment. Are you a God wrestler? Is your prayer life one that is vigorous and invigorated? You see, you may not have ever... You may have read this passage before and passed over, but let me just tell you something happened here. There is no Israel if Jacob hadn't determined to wrestle that night and prevail with God. Because it was at this moment that the man who turns out to be God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And then gave him this great promise, "Because you've been strong with God, you hung in there with me, you were strong with me, you sought me." Well, what was Jacob seeking? Bless me. And the only way that he would even let go, as God put him in some pain. And he blessed him. Now, here's an interesting text in the book of Colossians. This is from the Berkeley New Testament. Colossians chapter 4, and it's the story of Epaphras. And here we see the same phrasing. This is Colossians 4, verse 13. "Epaphras, one of your own, a slave of Christ Jesus, wants to be remembered to you. He is always wrestling for you in his prayers, that you may stand firm, mature, thoroughly convinced in all the will of God." Mature. There is Epaphras wrestling. And I wrote this question. I'd just like you to ponder this. Men and women, are you a God wrestler? Are you strong with God? Do you prevail upon God in prayer? Without doing so, you'll never prevail or influence or persuade men. Do you prevail upon God? Now, I'm going to show you another text in a moment where God invites you to drive him crazy. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Are you an individual who is easily denied? Are you an individual who easily gives up? Are you an individual who goes after God? See, the way we go after God, especially, is through prayer. I don't know if you know this, and I don't want anyone to misunderstand when I say this, what I'm going to say right now. But in the Old and New Testament, they didn't have what you would call your typical quiet time. Why? Because they had no Bible. There was no Bible. Jacob wasn't walking around with a script, with ancient scrolls. Their walk with God was real conversation. They talked with God out loud to God. Moses, if you're reading the one you're with me, you see Moses, man, he's arguing with God. He's right there. Now, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. You told me you'd send me and you set me up. Look what Pharaoh's doing now. Now the people won't even listen to me. What's that called? It's called talking with God. It's called being strong with God. That's called, here's the reality, Lord. Here's what's going on. This is why, trust me on this, please. This is why so many Christians are not experiencing this dynamic, experiential, emotional, meaningful relationship with God. They're not talking. And yet the same folks will be walking down unashamed. Yeah, uh-huh, sure. Yeah, right. No, sell. Just a minute, I got to go to the bathroom. Yeah, uh-huh, sure. Yeah, do that, right. No, don't buy that. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, that little BlackBerry, that little iPhone is our inseparable companion. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's a great tool. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was showing me. He said, Mark, you know, like I can take pictures wherever I am. I've got all my photo albums in here. I've got my calendar. I can do banking from this. I can do my web. I can make such great use of my time. I said, it'd be hard to live without it, wouldn't it? He goes, I can't even begin to imagine how I would live without this effective tool. And I can understand that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But let me say this to you. I don't understand how anyone can live without prayer, without what I'm taught. I can't even fathom it. God is longing to be gracious to you. He's longing to go into action. He prodded his disciples over and over and over. Ask me, ask me, ask me. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Prevail on me, guys. Now, I'll show you where he says this. Okay? This is a wonderful example. And for you ladies, now we have a female example. And it's one of my favorites, actually. In Luke chapter 18. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer and to show them they must never quit asking. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who was a godless man with great contempt for everyone. There was a widow of the city, and she came to him repeatedly, time after time, appealing and begging for justice against someone who had harmed her. The judge ignored her for a long while, but eventually she wore him out. I fear neither God nor man, he said to himself, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. What is the implication? Are you driving God crazy? Are you even close to driving God crazy? Of course, we cannot. But you understand the implication here of what Jesus is saying. And he goes on then to say this. Look, he said, learn a lesson from this evil judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen who plead with him day and night, which gives the thought of over and over and over and over again. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly, but look at this phrase. But when I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find who have faith? Did you notice he did not say, but when I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find praying? He didn't say that. Do you know what honors God tonight? You know, we were singing, we were worshiping him, and worship honors God. Singing honors God, do not get me wrong. It honors God. You know what honors God most of all? It's your faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God or she who comes to God must believe that he exists, and he is the rewarder, the prayer answerer of those who diligently seek him. Your faith in your God is demonstrated in the biggest way possible, not the only way possible, through your prayer life. Your prayer life. What are you asking for? How often are you asking? How long do you ask? And are you growing in that, what we would term the discipline of prayer? Although, to be honest, I don't even think of that anymore, because it's just the reality of my life. I must walk and talk with God. I cannot survive if I do not. There are things that need to happen in me and without me, in those that I love, in those that I care for. As leaders, our greatest opportunity, this is what we can learn from Epaphras, is to pray for those under our care. To pray for them. To ask God to work in their lives. To ask God to mature them. To ask God to stir their heart. To ask God to comfort them. There's a list of things. I'm not a guy who tends to write those lists down, but it's completely appropriate to write it down. And after my normal way of starting my time in prayer, sometimes unloading the burdens, other times in the beginning of just praise, thanking the Lord for what he's done, it all depends. I get to intercessory. I get to people by name. I get to 13 people that do not know the Lord, of young rockers that I'm working with, that I'm praying that they'll have the opportunity to lead them to Christ. And I pray for those individuals by name. By name. There's a list of sick people that I've been praying for by name over and over. I understand how precious those kind of prayers were after what we went through. There are areas of the world, a particular two, that I've been praying over and over that God would open up a door and allow me to partner with another individual to help start a church in this area of this country. There are particular needs that I bring before the Lord over and over and over. I'll never forget the first time I read this passage in in Luke chapter 18. I was I'd just gotten a job selling auto parts. And I began making sales calls. As you know, selling is it's not necessarily an easy thing. And I just had to go out and make these cold calls. So I'm going out, I'm visiting these places of business, and I come to find out that the individual who used to have the job before me had a very bad reputation. Thereby, my company had a bad reputation, and so as a result, when I told them who I was with, there were several, not just one, who pointed at the door and in very colorful language told me to leave. And it was very demoralizing. I confess to you, I was a young father. I had been out of work for 3 months. My wife and I, we were living on fryer chickens that we'd boil for soup. And Kathy, we had chicken soup every single day. And we were feeding Celeste, who was a baby then, Cuisinart mashed potatoes because we'd had no money for baby food. And it was a very difficult season. So I get this job, and I find out that there are 6 other auto parts stores in the town. I have unbelievable competition. They get overnight delivery. I don't. They have 3 or 4 delivery trucks. I have 1. And people already hate my company. And I'll be honest with you. This is nothing compared to Moses, but it was my little Moses time. It was my little going before God and saying, God, you send me to Pharaoh and these people throw me out. And literally, they would point to the door and say, you know, get the blank blank out. So one day, I admit, I was in my car and I used to go hide sometimes at this park called Brookside Park in Ames, Iowa. By hide, I mean, after I made 10 calls a day, I went to the back of that park, and I would try to encourage myself. I desperately needed encouragement. We were broke. The business, the guy told me was doing $20,000 a month. It was doing 8. I found the books buried in the desk. And my commission was $480 a month, gross. And I'm in my car, and tears are streaming down my face, and I'm like, you know what, Lord? I look for 3 months, and this is where you send me. Are you kidding me? What are you doing to me, Lord? I'm going to show you a mighty deliverance. Don't give me that Moses stuff. I need some money. What are you doing to me? So I carried this. I've been carrying this little Bible for 35 years. I just keep recovering it. I opened up to the persistent widow story. And the Lord said to me, in that still small voice, in the way that he can speak, he said, Mark, you know you've been going out, son, making these calls, sales calls every day. I want to tell you, I'm the number one guy you need to be making sales calls to because I control all the other yeses. They come from me, Mark. I want you come knocking on my door, Mark. I want to see your persistence with me. So I made a little covenant. And every day in the afternoon, when a lot of the other salesmen, because, you know, I'd go to these sales meetings, they talk about golf and in the summer and all that stuff they did. I didn't, and I didn't go home. I went to the back of Brookside Park, and I walked for an hour, and I timed it. I timed it, I'm not exaggerating. I've been wearing a chronographic watch since you could get them so I could time stuff. And I just walk, and I'd pray. And I'd pray over the customers. And I'd pray over their businesses that God would bless them. And I'd pray over my evil boss. And I won't go down that road right tonight. And I'd pray over my family. And I'd pray for things that were not yet, but that are happening through these years here in Minneapolis. But I didn't know it would be Minneapolis. At the end of that year, the store was doing $20,000 a month instead of 8,000 a month. Now, that may not be big time sales to anybody else, but it taught me a lesson I never, ever forgot. And that is that God longs to answer. God must be asked, and he wants to be asked vigorously, not lackadaisically. He wants to be asked with a sense of fervency, with a sense of genuine seriousness and desperation and emotion. For the Lord is our example, right? Do you know what it says to the Lord in Hebrews? During his days on earth, Jesus offered up groans and cries unto him who could save his soul from death. That's called out loud praying. That's called pray out loud. And it's amazing what out loud praying will do to your life. It's amazing. I was sharing this with some folks in Germany. And there, it's not very normal at all to pray out loud. And I was teaching them about prayer walks, going on a prayer walk. And the advantage of a prayer walk, they're huge. The huge advantage is you get your body moving. I want to encourage you to begin a habit of 15 minutes. For those of you who have never done this, 15 minutes of prayer walk. It can be in your garage. It can be in your basement pacing the floor. It can be I go out real early in the morning on a snowy hill back in a woods where no one can see me. After I do on my elliptical trainer because of plantar fasciitis, I can't walk as much as I used to. So I adapt, improvise, and overcome on the elliptical trainer. Then my feet don't have to move, but I'm moving. And the blood gets going in my body. My mind gets alert, and I just talk to God. Just me and him, walking and talking, walking and talking. And it's revolutionary. And I got two notes from two dear individuals. They're in Germany now, but they're from different parts of Europe. And both of them said, Mark, I've never tried this before. I got to tell you, it's been transformative in my prayer life. I just get out, I feel I'm really connecting with God. I'm in nature or I'm moving. The blood is flowing. You get more oxygen to the brain. That's a medical fact, scientific fact. And your brain becomes more alert and you become more energized. You become more engaged, more invigorated. And you're walking and talking with the living God. And he hears and he responds. He responds. God will respond to you. Did you know that God will answer prayers in your life? He longs to be engaged in your life. You and I must engage him in this way through prayer. For those of you that have been praying a while, I want to encourage you to step up to 25 minutes. And for all of you, I'd like to encourage you to set a goal, maybe in 6 months, try to get to 30 minutes. One of the things that you're going to find, here's what I do. I just a long time ago, many, many years ago, I decided, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to pay more attention to my physical body than I do to my spirit and then to you. So I just combined the two. I'm just going to walk, burn the calories. It's about 600 or 700 of them a morning, by the way. And I'm just going to talk with you. I'm just going to talk with you the whole time, Lord. And it has been so profound in my life. You know, people have asked me at times, and it's only the grace of God. But they said, you know, Mark, how did you get through some of the trials you've been through? Some of them have been pretty heavy. They've been the kind that if I were really honest, that if it wasn't for my prayer time with God, I'd have had a nervous breakdown. I'm just being really honest. They just would have broke me down. I mean, I could feel the weight of it. I could feel it sort of tearing me up inside. And if I did not have this beautiful privilege that God has given to talk with him, I wouldn't be here tonight. I would have quit. It would have just been too much of a load for me to carry. For those of you that would like to get into this a little more, I have a series. It's completely up to you whether or not you want to get it. But it's on the Strong Disciple site, strongdisciple.com. It's called Why I Need Prayer to Live. Why I Need Prayer to Live. That phrase is not a cutesy little catchphrase. For me personally, that's an absolute fact. I need prayer. Like others need oxygen, I need prayer. Interaction with God on an every single day basis, or I don't do very well. I need it to survive. And I go through a whole list that I think would really stimulate you just to think about of all the things, the benefits that come to us through prayer and how prayer impacts people. You know, real quick story, and then I'll close. Some of you know we have a church in Berlin, and that church has become very, very dear and precious to me personally. I know it's very dear and precious to many of you here, but some of you are more familiar with it than others. And some years back, the church went through an extremely, extremely difficult time. And for me personally, it was very personal. There was a lot of personal things connected to the situation in Berlin. And it did not look at the time that it would survive at all. And I won't get into all the reasons, but those that are somewhat familiar know I'm not exaggerating. And I mean, I hit the prayer trail. Now, I know others did too, by the way. I'm not taking credit like, oh, my prayers did all this. God did it. I'm just here to tell you I prayed specific things over and over and over and over. And even to this day, the last 10 minutes of my prayer time every day is spent praying for Rock Berliners by name. By name. And there's a couple of individuals that I'm praying that God raises them up as missionaries to go back to their own country, that I can help them with the Rock here plant a little house church in the country. But that's some years down the road, but I can ask. And I've come to learn, take it from an older guy who's been following a long time, you can ask the Lord for anything. Just ask. Just lay your heart out there. If God wants to shut a door, we'll give him the privilege to shut the door. But I'm telling you what, like a little kid, I'm going to do everything I can to beat the door down. And that's what Jacob did. I want you to go back to that picture. There's some people who think that God, and I'm just telling you my view, that's all. Some people go, that was the moment God broke Jacob. I don't see that there. I don't see God having a discussion going, you know, you're proud Jacob, and you're a liar Jacob, and I'm knocking your hip out of socket, knock your hip out, and I broke you. That, I don't see any indication of that. I've read it from about 8 or 10 different texts. What I see is that this man, who turns out to be God, in my view, found out what Jacob was made of in this sense. Will you fight back, Jacob? Will you struggle with me? Or will you just lay down and die? Or do you really want my blessing? Do you really want my blessing? I really want God's blessing, and I know you do too. So I know that you do. So we pay the price Jacob paid. We wrestle with God. We strong with God. We come back like that widow woman, and we persist, and we beg, and we nag his ear off. Until the timing of God, and he responds. I wish I had time tonight. I don't. I want to end early so you have time to fellowship. But I could tell you story after story, as I know there are many in this auditorium who could do the same. Stand up and give one answered prayer. And I saw God do this. And God answered here. And God answered here. And I prayed for this. And I prayed for that. I hope tonight my desire was to inspire you to pray and to help you through prayer walks and actually timing it and getting where you're completely alone, where you can be alone. This is part of why I get up early in the morning. If your garage, now listen, I understand that some of you mamas, you got little children, you can't just take off in the morning, but maybe what you could do is before the kiddos get up, you know, the modern conveniences that you all have these days is mind-blowing. My daughter, they have this little, it's a radio, I guess it's a radio, call it a radio. You put the little thing in the kid's room, and then you can carry it around with you wherever you want, and you can hear if the kid's breathing or if they're crying mama. So, you know, if you've got one of those, get in your basement, mom, or go out in your garage when daddy's pulled it out to go to work and walk that garage. Man, I get bundled up. I don't wear a hat. I don't go that far. But I got my little backward earmuff things, you know. And I go out and I'm walking and I'm crying out to God. And it's just, I got to tell you, it's a different experience when it's dark out and you're just you and God. And you're talking. And you're just talking. And you're relating your needs to God, and you're praying over your children. I pray every day over my grandchildren Every single day. I pray over the Rock children. I pray over their moms and their dads. And I'm asking specific things. And I'm going to keep asking. I'm not doing anything that anybody else in this room can't do. I want you to know I don't have a corner on God. There are people who are even beyond me in this area. But I'm just telling you where I'm at. And I'm telling you where you can go and where God wants to take you. And if we're going to see more and more lives transformed that we all desire, I'd like to challenge you as a small group leader here. Many of you small group leaders are ministry leaders, to begin tomorrow praying by name for the people in your small group. And don't stop. You don't have to go off, you know, on a 5-minute little detour on each name. Just pray for them. Pray they be mature and strong in the Lord and fully convinced in God's will. Pray they become a missionary to their oikos, to their household, to their family. Pray they be a light. Pray they be enjoying the Lord. Whatever God puts on your heart, pray. Pray for your own life. Pray for your loved ones. Pray. Ask God for things that maybe you've not been asking him before, do it. And I promise you, a year from now, you're going to be a different person. And collectively, there's going to be hundreds of answered prayers. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight for the privilege, the incredible privilege that you give every one of us to have instant access to God. The Bible says that we have a high priest who can sympathize with all of our struggles, all of our concerns, all of our burdens, all of our stresses. That we can come boldly, like walk right through the door into the throne of God, and we receive grace to help us and mercy in our time of need. Lord, I'm so comforted by this story you gave of the persistent widow, because the bottom line is you made the story up. You said, guys, I'm going to tell you a story to show your need for constant prayer so that you never give up. Don't give up. Don't you give up asking me. Show me your faith. When I come, will I find people still praying? Because prayer, guys, is the demonstration of your faith in me. I'm telling you, Lord, I have an agreement with you and me. You're going to find me still praying. Now, maybe I would have finished that morning and I was sitting down for breakfast and then you come. But you will have known Mark prayed. Mark sought me. Mark's been asking. I just thank you, Lord, so much for hearing my prayers, for listening, for your tender understanding, for the way that you speak back, for the things that you have done for me. Lord, you are the richest treasure in my life, the best thing ever's happened to me. Make us people who walk and talk with God. In Jesus' name, amen.